Amen. I would like to give honor to Pastor and Sister C in allowing me this opportunity to deliver the word of the Lord. I do not take it lightly. I'm very appreciative of this opportunity. There's been a deep move of the Holy Ghost here, and a deep current of the Holy Ghost. And I feel his presence just right now as I'm talking strongly. And I felt led to say this. You can say seated. Somebody here needs to know that they're loved. And the love of Jesus is not a cheap love. It's not just a word that's spoken out. But it's an agape love. It's a true love. It's a whole love. You're not just a paper plate used and abused and just thrown to the wayside. But you're something beautiful that God wants to have his hands in. Amen. You're fine china. And if you're coming here today and you feel unloved, let me tell you what. I have a God that wants to love you. I have a God that wants to take your life, and he wants to trade that old nasty paper plate in for something beautiful. The Bible says that he is the potter, and we are the clay. If you'll take your brokenness and your hurt and your pain, and you lay it on this altar, watch what God can do. Watch what God can do. So whoever it is I'm speaking to that may feel unloved, Jesus loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care your past. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. There's an old song I heard my wife sing before, and it says, there are bigger sins than that beneath the blood of Jesus. So whatever it is that you think that can hinder you, hey, there are bigger sins than that beneath the blood of Jesus. Amen. Again, I want to give honor to Pastor for this opportunity. Amen. Give honor to my bride, Sister Mahala, 12 years. All right. It's such an amazing time, and I'm so thankful for that. But if we could all stand and turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Amen. Again, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 37, then we'll turn to Luke 18:27. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Jumping over to Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse number 27. And it says, and he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Amen. Brother Neil, would you pray? We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the service. Thank you, God. We love you. We thank you, God. Bless the service, God. Anoint my lips of clay. God, we thank you, Jesus. Jesus, in your name, God. Thank you, God, for this. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. I want to preach from this simple thought tonight. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. Amen. A definition of impossible is not able to occur, exist, or be done. It's something that no one thinks is possible at all. Amen. But I serve a God, amen, that can do the miraculous, that can work miracles, that can do healings. Amen. And if you're in this house tonight, I want to encourage you that whatever you're going through, whether it be healing in your body, I serve a God that can do the impossible. When the doctor says it can't happen, amen, God can just touch that spot and it can be healed. If you're needing deliverance from an addiction, I serve a God that can do the impossible. Where people are just writing you off and saying, hey, it can't be done, but hey, I have a God that can deliver. Amen. I have a God, amen, that can do the impossible in whatever situation you may be in. Whatever you're going through, when others write you off and say, oh, they're just a hopeless situation, it's impossible. Hey, I serve a God that can do the impossible. What about the lame man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8? It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he asked alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Where somebody saw a hopeless situation, amen, there was a possible situation for the Lord, amen. People just wrote them off. They'd walk by and say, oh, that's just an old lame man standing there. Hey, but I serve a God of the impossible, amen. When you think it can't be done, amen, it can, because God, amen, can do the impossible. Whatever situation is going on in your life, he can handle it. Whatever the need may be, he can handle it. I serve a God that can do the impossible. He was written off. He was a lame man just from his mother's womb. Yes. If somebody was like that here today, amen, we would have wrote him off. Right. Too many times we just walk by people and say, oh, it's impossible. God can't do it. How many times, don't admit it, but how many times have you prayed for somebody and you're like, well, I guess it's hopeless, but okay. But the faith of Peter and John, they had faith that said, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. Hey, I'm just going to pray. And we're just going to say, silver and gold have I none. Hey, it took faith from them and it took faith from him. They had to have faith believing that God was going to do it. And he had to have faith receiving that God was going to do it. Amen. He's the God of the impossible. When people saw a hopeless situation, amen, a done deal, amen, they saw a miracle. Looking at Moses parting the water. Amen. The children of Israel were at the Red Sea. They didn't see a way out. They didn't see how they could get through the water. Oh, but he began to call on the Lord. And we know the story that Moses held out his staff. Amen. The enemy was on his back. It was an impossible situation for the children of Israel. But God worked out a miracle. Amen. Where there seemed to be an impossibility. Amen. God worked out a miracle on their behalf. Amen. More than just moving the water. Hey, brother man, Brother Corbett preaches on this all the time in the jail. He dried up the ground. More than just moving the water, he dried up the ground. That means he pulled all the water out of that ground and dried it where they could walk on dry land. Amen. Where they saw an impossibility, God was making a miracle happen. They walked on dry land. They got across to the other side. And you know what happened? He said, stretch forth thy staff. And another thing happened. The army that was trying to get after them, the water closed in on them, and God defeated them so they wouldn't have to fight. They wouldn't have to go through what they were going through. Amen. That enemy was defeated. Amen. I serve a God of the impossible. If you're going through a trial, a situation, amen, and you're needing a miracle in your life, I serve a God of impossibilities. A God that works miracles. Amen. What about the one with a handful of meal and a little oil? You know, even before that miracle happened, there was more before that. Elijah didn't have food, but a bird brought it to him. Yeah. Hey, that's a God of impossibility. Amen. And then you go on down. There's a drought beginning to happen, and he tells him, hey, go meet this woman. And he goes and he finds her. I'm paraphrasing, and she's gathering sticks. And he asks her, make me a cake. She said, well, I was fixing to go and do that, but I only have enough meal for me and my son. We were just going to eat and die. But she obeyed the man of God. And she made him a cake first. And you know what happened? That barrel just kept producing that meal. And that oil just kept producing. Hey, if you've been having a struggle financially, if your pantry's been dry, amen, just believe and trust in God, because he's the God of impossible, of the impossible. He can work a miracle out where she didn't see a way out. She just thought she was going to go home and die and it was done and over with. No, 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 no. God saw, amen, a chance to prove to him, to prove to her, amen, that he's the God of the impossible, that he can do miracles, amen. Even when she didn't see it, amen, God could do it. Another miracle that happened in this situation is her son fell sick. Gone. He took the young man to the upper part of the house and he began to pray and plead with God. And that young boy was brought back to life. He began to get air in his lungs. It said that he was hard to breathe. But God did the impossible for that lady again. Not only once did he show, amen, his miraculous power, but twice, amen, because he healed her son. I want to encourage somebody today. We serve a God, a mighty God of the impossible things. I don't care what you've been going through, what your need is. We serve a God that can help you, that can save you. Even when your life seems like an impossible situation, even when your life feels done and broken and over with, we serve a God, amen, that can take your mourning, amen, and turn it into dancing, that to take your sorrow and turn it into joy. We serve a God that can do the impossible, amen, in your life. I don't think you believe me tonight. We serve a God that can do the impossible in your life. I don't care what it is you're going through, whether it's a healing in your body, God can do it. Whether it's deliverance, amen, amen. Whether you need the gift of the Holy Ghost and you need to be freed from the sin of this world, I serve a God that can do the impossible. I serve a delivering God, a healing God, a mighty God. Too many people just say, oh, you know what? Those were things in the Bible. Those were just times in the Bible. God doesn't do those things no more. Oh, but let me tell you something. I've heard stories upon stories upon stories of this day and hour where God has worked a miracle on somebody's behalf, and he's done the impossible where there seemed to be, amen, an impossibility. And instead of hearing it from my mouth, I've asked a few people in here to testify about what God has done, because it's not just Bible stories. It's not just something you hear on the internet. It's not just something that's hearsay, but it's something that we're living in right now where God could do the impossible. And somebody in here may seem hopeless. You may seem down. You may feel like throwing in the towel. Hey, but God can step right in and he can turn your situation around. He can turn, amen, whatever it is you're going through for the greater of God. I'm going to ask my wife real quick to tell a story about how God provided food when she didn't have any.
When I was single, living on my own, I had come up a little short with my paycheck, and I had enough for rent, utilities, and some gas. If I was smart with it, skipped a few meals, and, I basically had a week where that's what I was going to have to do. Skip some meals, pay utilities, bills, no groceries, no eating out. And, I'd seen many times in my life where God had blessed me and my family with food when we couldn't go get the food. And during that time, I said, God, you've done it before. You'll do it again. And one night after a youth night, I'd had a friend come get me. I was trying to be smart, you know, in my gas. And then I came back home. I was living in an apartment at the time. And this was after midnight. I get home, get in bed. And we had doorbells. And I hear the doorbell ring after midnight. And I was a little freaked out. I didn't know what was going on. And so I hadn't told anybody about what I was needing. I had never said a word about it. I go to the door and look outside. No one's there. I mean, it probably wasn't even 5 minutes of time. I never even heard anybody coming or going. I had literally just laid down. I mean, it's a one-bedroom apartment. You can hear anything, especially going upstairs on a stairwell. And when I opened the door, there was groceries filling the hallway staircase where my apartment was. And I looked around, called a friend, and I was like, hey, were you just at my house? And they were like, no, I wasn't at your house. And they were like, well, I'm about to go to bed. You need to go to bed too. And I was like, well, somebody just left all of this groceries. And anyway, long story, they were like, well, praise the Lord. You know, you need to pull it all in, bring it in. Is anybody there? I was like, no, nobody's here. So I bring it all in. It was enough to feed probably much more than myself. 2 gallons of milk, 2 loaves of bread. I mean, it was a lot of food. And even more so, I knew it was a blessing. Because not a lot of people at the time, I love raspberry jelly. There was peanut butter, there was bread, and there was raspberry jelly. There was no strawberry or grape jelly. That's uncommon for most people to do. And so I praised the Lord and I said, God, you did do it again. Thank you, Lord.
We serve a God of the impossible. Amen. These aren't just stories from other folks. These are stories from people you know. Where God can work a miracle on your behalf. You're hearing it from their mouth, amen, of what God has done in their life. And if he can do it for them, he can do it for you. I'll tell a quick one before I give it over to Sister Becky. We had a lady here. She's gone. Her name was Margie Vasquez. Many of you remember her. And we would go and hang out at their house. And she had talked to me and my wife about a situation where she had a lump on her chest. And the doctors were for sure it was cancer. And we anointed a prayer cloth. And we prayed over that prayer cloth and we brought it to her. And she began to wear that prayer cloth where that lump was. And you know what happened when she went back in, when they were going to do a biopsy, the lump was gone. I serve a God that could do the impossible. When nobody thinks it can happen, I serve a God that can do it. Amen. Sister Becky.
Well, when Brother Zach asked, that my mind was going through story after story after story. And I was trying to pick one of what God has done to prove his miraculousness in my life. So it was hard. I was going through even like my birth. I was footling breech, and then I flipped a tracker and walked to Waith, you know, after I flipped it 3 times. And I just, so many stories, and it made me walk down memory lane today. And so, but the one I chose to tell was Brother Schubert was here several months ago, probably 6-7 months ago. And most of you might remember that story. It was that service Sunday morning. He said, if you're in pain, I want you to come up here. Well, you know, the devil likes to fight you and say, you're being dumb, or you shouldn't go, this one's not for you. And he kept saying, if you're in pain, you should come up here. And I just sat back and didn't come. Well, then I show up to service Sunday night and still in pain. And everybody's giving all their testimonies of how God healed them and delivered them. And I'm sitting there still in pain. And I'm like, well... And he says, anybody in here still in pain? And I'm like, oh, no. And I slipped my hand up, and then I pulled it right back down. He said, well, if you are, it's your own fault, because God was here this morning. And I was like, God, you saw me slip my hand up. You know my need. And so I didn't get prayer. I didn't do anything. I went back home, and I was still in pain. But when I woke up the next morning, I was completely out of pain. And some things had happened. You know, I had went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that I had a cyst this size and another cyst this size, and I didn't know exactly what to do, and that it was just going to take months for this pain to go away, and that's just how it was going to be. But from that service on, I have not had that pain back in my body, and it is something I had dealt with time after time after time, and I'm just so thankful that he is the God of the impossible.
Amen. Amen. We serve a God that can do the impossible. Amen. Many of you may know her story, but I'm going to go over here to Sister Jan and Brother Brian. God has did a miraculous work in their life, not only for their children, but also for them. Where people saw a hopeless situation, a couple strung out on different things, God saw, amen, a miracle.
Brother Zach called this afternoon and asked us if we would share a little bit of where God has worked in impossible situations with us. And I was very thankful he gave me a heads up, because the situation we want to share, it's a long battle, and it's hard to bring across what God has done for us on the spot, because there's so much that is really personal. And so it's not always easy to find the right words. So this afternoon, we took the opportunity to kind of go through things and write down how we It's a 15-year battle. It's not easy to condense into something, but we did write it down, and I'm going to read that. When Brother Zach asked us to testify about what the Lord has done through our babies, I thought I could fill a book with all the ways he's come through on this journey. I wish there was a way to share all the times he has touched and blessed, all the little and big miracles along the way. He has showed our family he is faithful all the time. Most of you probably don't know that Carrie was our 23rd pregnancy. There's 23 pregnancies and only 6 living babies. We should not have had any more babies after Coco. We thought we were 3 and done, door closed, but the Lord had other plans for us. And see, back before there was a Kate or a Cammy or a Carrie, the Lord asked us to trust him. At that time, we had no idea where that trust was going to take us. When it happened, I was actually on my 3rd day in a hospital stay after being diagnosed with my first ectopic pregnancy. And for those that don't know, that's where the baby grows outside of your womb. It's really dangerous, and it's a leading cause of maternal death. It was determined that the baby had no heartbeat, but my body didn't recognize that. So the rest of the things that sustain pregnancy continue to grow, jeopardizing my life. They were trying to figure out how to treat me, but they were keeping me in the hospital in case it ruptured. So we had prayed countless times for the Lord to heal and bring life back to that baby. We had one doctor tell us it is impossible for the baby to move and grow in the womb normally. It never happens. And man, did I want God to show up and show that doctor that there is never a never or impossible with my God. The 3rd night in the hospital, the Lord asked me, "What do you want me to do?" I remember it plain as day. It felt like an open door. Just ask and you shall receive. I went through the list of what I wanted. Heal the baby. Breathe life into it. Show everyone involved that you're bigger than impossible and never. And then I said, but I want you to decide. You know what's best for me and my baby, and I want your will, whatever that means. I firmly believe had we asked differently, we would have a little boy or girl that would have turned 12 this past October. But I knew the Lord had other plans, and we left the hospital that day without a live baby in my womb. That day was the first step on the journey the Lord has been walking us through. We've had to learn to trust God through life and death. Saying yes to trusting him has taken us places and showed us things that we never would have known otherwise. I wish I could share all the ways that he has used our babies in eternal ways, but we'd be here all night. He has walked us through so many impossible situations. We've been told by more than one doctor that my body is so broken, there's no way we should have one more live baby, let alone 3. He has given us 3 more beautiful little girls and the promise of another son. I think a lot of people think we just want all the babies. And while we do love babies, this is about serving and trusting a faithful God to walk us through impossible situations for his glory. And our family can stand here today and honestly say he is faithful.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jen. Those are just a few people that I just called quickly. There was many more I would have loved to reach out with to and tell you about how God has just done a work in their life. Many of you sitting here today can go over your testimony, but God can do the impossible in an impossible situation. Real quick, I want Pastor just to tell a story. He's told it here before. We hear the impossible stories of how God healed a body, touched a body. We've heard providing groceries. But Pastor tells a story of a time when they didn't have no money. And something came in the mail to the T. Pastor, tell that story.
Well, we were here. It was in Central Heights, basically. And that particular month, the church note was there. We was paying church notes and everything else. And
oh, God.
The church just wasn't no offering coming in. And so it had to come somewhere. And so we took it out of the tithing account. And Brother Long was our secretary that time. And he said, Brother Carson, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, let's just do it. In that month, that meant I had no paycheck, no opportunity. And my wife and I needed a certain amount, and if I can remember right, or closely, $126.14 is what we needed to pay on a bill. And I can remember Sister Crosswhite, she always liked to check the mail. And we checked the mail, and we had got a refund check for $126.14 from something, utilities, or a phone company or something. Only God knew to that penny what we needed, but he's a God of impossibilities.
Amen. Amen. He's a God of the impossibilities. That's right. And so I don't know what you're going through tonight. And I know this isn't just a shouting message, but I just want to encourage somebody, whatever your situation may be, whether it's a financial need, whether it's groceries in your cupboard, whether it's a healing, or whether it's deliverance, or whether it's salvation, we serve a God that loves you, a God that cares for you. And he knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. He hadn't left you. He hadn't forsaken you. He loves you. And he's a God of the impossible. You're not a washed up situation. Amen. But he loves you. And if you haven't experienced what God has for you, as somebody gets ready to come to the piano, amen, God loves you. He wants you to turn your life around. He wants you to repent of your sins. It's a change of heart, mind, and direction. It's turning from those things of the world and turning to him. He wants to baptize you in the lovely name of Jesus. And when you're baptized in that name, amen, all those sins are washed away. And he wants to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when he does, that's an amazing thing. There's joy, there's peace, there's comfort that comes with that. And so it's not just stories in the Bible. It's not just something you read, but it's something that happens now. And if you're in a situation where you feel there's an impossibility, I ask you to make your way up to the front and give it to God and watch what he can do. Amen. I can't wait to hear the praise reports of what God has done in your life when you took it to the altar. Whether it be a healing in your body, whether it be a financial situation, whether it be groceries in your cabinet, I serve a God that could do the impossible. Because in all these situations, amen, where people thought it couldn't happen, God made a way. God made a way. As you come, as you stand, I wonder if you can come and just begin to pray and ask God to work it out in your life, to work a miracle for you.
I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way.
If there's a loved one in your family that seems like a hopeless situation, amen, I wonder if you could pray for them, because God could do the impossible. Amen. Where people have them wrote off, God could do it. Amen.
It's the same God.
If you're needing a healing, God can do it. If you're needing deliverance, God can do it. We serve a God that can do the impossible in whatever situation it is, whatever is going on in your life. We serve a God that can do the miraculous, that can heal, that can feel, that can provide.
The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who who's here today. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is. Is there anything too hard for? Too hard.